Buenas tardes, bienvenidas a esta nueva emisión de Cuore Animal, sábado 20 de enero, 4 de la tarde. Hoy la mayoría de vosotras supongo que estaréis corriendo ya hacia las manifestaciones convocadas en más de 85 ciudades de todo el Estado español para reclamar una postura firme frente al genocidio que está cometiendo Israel con la población, o sea, genocidio palestino cometido por Israel. Una posición firme de todos los estados, incluyendo los nuestros, todos los gobiernos, que no cesan de relacionarse con un estado asesino. Y bueno, lo que queremos es que se pare todo tipo de relación, incluso la venta de armas a este país, Israel, obligándolo a, digamos, a respetar lo que ya no ha respetado, porque ya son muchísimas las muertes que ha ocasionado en esta contraofensiva que comenzara en el 7 de octubre, hace más de 3 meses, contra toda la población, la Franja de Gaza, y que, bueno, que ya sabéis que el conflicto no cesa y las muertes no paran y el reclamo cada vez es mayor. Entonces, a falta de invitadas de hoy en este programa, que normalmente son las con las que hablamos y de lo que está sucediendo a nuestro alrededor, hemos pensado que os vamos a pasar una serie de audios, documentos creados por intelectuales, un grupo de intelectuales, de académicas, artistas, que se llaman Learning Palestine, el grupo Learning Palestine, en colaboración con Radio Lara, la radio palestina por excelencia. Han producido una serie de audios en la que se recogen documentos de todo tipo, voces de todo tipo, que ellos han llamado Learning Palestine, aprendiendo Palestina, o sea, conociendo Palestina, y con la que reclaman, ¿no?, también, o ponen en relieve este conocimiento de esa lucha incesable que ha vivido este pueblo, esta lucha que lleva casi más de 70 años en búsqueda de justicia y liberación, y también, como no, y libertad. Pues bien, vamos a escucharlo. Os iré haciendo algún tránsito porque no vamos, bueno, se trata de tener que deciros que son más de 24 horas de grabaciones que podréis consultar luego desde el podcast, a las que os linkearé, os enlazaré. Y ahora vamos a escuchar el inicio de esta segunda parte que se llama Learning Palestine 2, ¿no? Y os comentaré allá en algún, os haré un tránsito de unos documentos a otros, porque tampoco vamos a escucharlo todo. Pues bien, espero que tengáis una buena manifestación. Y so, Palestina will be free from the river to the sea. Palestina será libre del río al mar. Y Palestina, o Free Palestine, Palestina libre, stop genocide, paremos el genocidio.
Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. This is the second iteration of the 12-hour program of Learning Palestine. As genocide unfolds before our eyes, language falls short. It becomes obsolete and helpless. Yet, we need to continue exploring ways of speaking out and organizing against the grain, against this overdose of destruction and annihilation of life, against warmongering and militarization, against attempts to silence and immobilize us. And so we return to what has been said and spoken before us to comprehend the history that precedes and informs the current political moment. We return to the struggles that we belong to and find our roots in, from Algeria to Abya Yala, from South Africa to Asia, and back to Palestine. Despite the difference in our struggles, Palestine remains an embodiment and extension of these and other struggles for life and liberation, against racism, colonialism, imperialism, and rising fascism. In this program, we share lectures, talks, teachings, as well as poems, music, and chants in the hopes of expanding our political horizons and engagements through study and struggle, to imagine ways of acting together, to tear apart the walls and borders that separate us, for a life in freedom, justice, and dignity for all. This series is brought to you by the Learning Palestine Group.
Tonight, the five poems I wrote during what I now always call in my head Ayam Gaza. I worked really hard on these poems, on the page, because I wanted them to be able to go anywhere. I wanted the craft and the language to be so tight that even the rhythm couldn't stop them from seeing what I was saying. And after I finished every poem, each poem decided to name itself after a city in Gaza. I wouldn't have chosen that. I was not that brave. But the poems did for themselves. There's five of them, and I'm going to read them back to back, very humbly. This is Gaza. A great miracle happened here, a festival of lights. A casting of lead upon children, an army feasting on epiphany. I know nothing under the sun, over the wall no one mentions. Some must die wrapped in floral petroleum blanket, no coverage. I have come to everyday Armageddon, a ladder left unattended. Six candles burn down a house, a horse tied to smoke. Some must die to send a signal. Flatline, scream, live stream, river, a memory longer than lifespans. The living want to die in their country. No open doors, no open seas, no open hands full of heart, five daughters wrapped in white. Each day jihad, each day faith over fear, each day a mirror, a fire. The living want to die with their families. The girl loses limbs, her brother gathers arms. Some must die for not dying. Children on hospital floor, mother beside them, the father in shock. This is my family. I have failed them. This is my family. I did not raise their heads. I have buried them. My family. What will I do now? My family is bread. One fish, one people, cut into pieces. There is a thirst, thefts. Life. There is a hunger, a winter within winter. Some must die to bring salvation. I have come to end times always present. The woman lost parents, her children, and screams, my sister. I have lost my sister. I want to die. My sister's eyes were honey, her voice mine. I can't face this. Only God, only God, my sister. Medics killed, schools hit, convoys bombed. The injured are dying. The dead are buried in 3 hours. The people pray together and curse. The people mourn loud and quiet, always too loud, not enough. Some must die because they are the vicinity. Some must die because it was written. No, army does not apologize, has never apologized. Authority chases paper, assembly, occupation settles deeper. A great miracle here. The living are dying, and the dying living. A festival of lights, a strip, a land, a blaze, the sea, a mirror of fire, the casting of lead upon children. Their heads roll off their shoulders into streets. Their tops spin in hands, an army feasting on epiphany, driving future into history, carrying torches into women.
When I came here to Sweden in 67, people were praying for Israel.
In other countries, Saudi Arabia was denied visa. Because I have joined this band.
In this picture, you can see that she is a very strong person and she wants to continue the struggle to free Palestine.
We came to Tehran. We had only 3 Russians on board and we had room. That was all.
We were of that generation who talked a lot about solidarity.
Alternative music bands, they grew like mushrooms, you know, everywhere. Everybody did. The message was everybody can play.
The occupation is still ongoing, the suffering is still ongoing, and music is a universal way of expressing emotions and feelings and politics.
In order to create things, you have to be free.
In January 2016, the Palestinian-Swedish band Kafir reformed in the city of Gothenburg for a special concert in solidarity with Gaza. Their leader, songwriter George Totori, left Palestine in 1967, the year of Israel's violent colonization of the West Bank, Gaza, Jerusalem, and parts of Syria and Lebanon. In Sweden, he formed Kafir, an uncompromisingly political band of Palestinians and Swedes, gaining popularity in the leftist and DIY music scenes, and producing 4 albums. As the Swedish ruling class once again clamps down on pro-Palestine sentiment, including on Kafir's songs, the band is working on new material. This is their story.
I came from Nazareth. At that time, Nazareth belonged to a military area, so every time we want to leave Nazareth to another place, we need permission, from military permission. They did build the Jewish areas surrounding Nazareth, so if we went to these areas, people attacked us and so on. So always we felt that we are free then.
Yeah. I was born in the Jerusalem in 1948, in the east side before the existence of Israel. Then moved to Jordan and came back to Amman, to Jerusalem in 1952 after the 1948 war. So all the family left the east side and moved to the west side.
So we have friends, they had the permission, for example, to leave Nazareth to Tiberias, and they have been arrested, especially Tawfiq Zayed. And they arrested him even without the permission, so they can always, as an Arab in Israel, you are wrong.
The war came in 1967, and as two leaders and guys, we were not supposed to continue guiding without an Israeli presence. Someone has to hear what we say. Before that, in 66, I met a girl that became in love, and she had come to Sweden on the 15th of June 1967. So I have been here now 48 years, so I have been more time in Sweden than in my country.
Open class are raised, so people, the only way they could breathe out this oppression was through the folk songs. So they had a very, very big parties, for example, resistance in literature. And the songs, the folk songs that we did sing, it was a matter of to show that we exist.
You know, always I had a feeling that I want to speak, to tell people about the oppression of my people and myself too, because we lived under oppression. So when I came here, people knew nothing about Palestine, and the Arab embassy did nothing, and no one did anything for the Palestinian people. Then I started this music group.
Friend, or exactly a boyfriend, who played with Kafir, and I started go listening to them, and went with them to Denmark. And one certain night, I thought, I want to sing as well. So I just jumped up on the stage and started to sing along with the choir there, where they sang something like, "We have to keep on struggling." Ni ska kämpa vidare.
Ni ska kämpa vidare. Ni ska kämpa vidare och återvända hem.
Before Kafir, I was actually playing in sort of a solidarity group for the Vietnamese struggle as well, and also another political music group in the beginning of the 70s.
Well, it's really hard to say which is the egg and which is the hen, because it was a political period, and everybody wanted to be active. You should not be a consumer. You should not be commercialized. You should, you know, really do it yourself. Build your own music, build your own music instruments, build your own. Everything should be done by people. But many of these bands, they never survived. They came up and they fell down. But I think Kofia, why Kofia still was working, you know, for like 10 years or something like that, was because George has a very strong drive. And he was Palestinian, and we had Palestinian people in the group. And also, the people who were in the group wanted to play political music.
So everything was for Israel, for Israel, for Israel, for Israel. So the only change I noticed at that time, that the buildings are different than the language, but political situation. It is more Zionist than the Israelis themselves. And in that case, I thought it is important to sing for the people about the Palestine, to tell them the stories of the Palestinian people.
موجود على جبال وبحار بماع الأحرار بالليل يا الله بالليل.
We wanted to support the people's struggle in South Africa, in Palestine, and we made comparisons that there was an apartheid regime in South Africa, but also in Palestine.
بحار في الأغوار بالليل يا الله بالليل.
But maybe at that time we got a lot of critical voices that these songs were very aggressive and very hard and so on.
Fire
against the Zionism and the Arab reactionaries and the imperialism, for example. It was something new for them. It was very hard songs.
ضربوا بيوت الأطفال في قنابلهم، ضربوا قلوب الأمهات في خناجرهم، سرقوا أرض فلسطين بمذابحهم. يلا 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 عالاستعمار،
نور 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 نور
عالصهيونية،
نور 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 نور
عالرجعية،
نور 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 نور
عالاستعمار.
Some people, they don't like it, but I try to represent these, the offers of the Palestinian
people.
These songs you made in Nazareth, for instance, when you were singing, clapping your hands, people were playing and so on, was this the structure that you brought with you to Sweden?
No, I can't say, or where I can't say that or that. You get the feeling. I did sing in the church, I did sing in the parties. Yeah. I sing. Yeah. So the combination of music in my heart is maybe this result.
International solidarity also brought kind of interest in new kinds of instruments and playing in a different way. There had been interest in Greek during the military regime in Greece. People had started playing the bouzouki, like for example Ville, one of the members.
Many of us were sort of into, in some way, into folk music.
Yeah.
Both Swedish and international folk music.
The drummers were those who played durbake were Palestinians.
I took part when recording the second album called The Earth of My Homeland. And I remember we had lots of discussions about the cover, what picture, what photo should be on the cover. And I'm very pleased with this one because it shows the face of a mother who is very active in her everyday life, baking bread like Palestinian mothers, but she's also very strong.
Most of the songs in this, even with the fourth one, the cassette, is a story. Every song is a story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just a song. It's a story. It tells you a story.
South of Lebanon, for instance, I'm sitting in my house. The cock is singing in the morning. Then I hear a big thunder of Israeli bomb planes coming over my house and so on. Is this a kind of eyewitness thing?
Oh,
our way of work with these records are something new even for the Palestinians, and so it is difficult for them to accept them because they are telling stories, because we made them for the Swedes to tell them what is happening. And at home they are not used to that. They are used to sing a poem for Mahmoud Darwish and that and that. And it is nothing wrong with that. But here I wanted to teach them about the Palestinian struggle.
George and I sing a song called Daughter of Palestine. I sing the verses in Swedish and he sings them in
De har satt en tagg i våra hjärtan. Våra hus är jämnade med marken. De som bodde här drev man på flykten. De som vägrade slog man i
hjärtan. And in February, I think it was 1980, I went with the group to Iran. To play for people there. They had just thrown out the Shah from the country.
There was an organization in Iran who were part of overthrowing the Shah regime, and it was Fedayeen and Mujahideen and other groups. And they were the first kind of organizations who really fought back, you could say. And one of them had been trained in Lebanon by PLO.
And George had even written a song called Iran, My Country.
Iran, mitt land. Från viken färgat av blod till dina höga ståtliga berg rasar i galna.
So they were grateful towards the PLO, and to show this for the people in Tehran, they wanted to invite a Palestinian group, music group, to play there. I think you found people that do want to go to Iran, and it was kind of a very tense situation there because it was a revolution going on, and you had to think twice before you went down there.
I det kloakvatten som är imperialism. Men Iran, mitt land, jag svär att möta tystnaden i din natt.
Well, they were going to celebrate the 1 year anniversary after they had kicked out the Shah from the country. And they had also invited a Chilean group from Stockholm, because they saw that both the Chilean people and the Palestinian people had their struggle against imperialism and fascism, just like the Iranian people had had against the Shah.
Played there was, I think, one of the best shows we ever had.
Mm.
And as a part of the story, the lights went out. Yeah. We thought now we're going to be attacked by military,
it was or kind by
Khomeini guards or something like that. And then, of 2 or 3 minutes, they took away the headlights of a car and put the headlights of the car on the scene and connected it with the car and started the car outside, and then there were cables going in. So we played in the light of headlights of the car, which was very beautiful.
And even when we left the concerts and went back home, once a car followed us.
Yes.
So we had to go into a side street,
yes.
And quickly change cars.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I remember. And I had to open my my flute, and I didn't know what it was.
Maybe they thought it was a Kalashnikov.
Yeah. Could be a weapon.
Shufin nujum binat alina, shufil amar damaytum aynina.
when we played in, on the stage in Berlin, West Berlin.
Yeah.
They came the soldiers.
Yes.
On the stage, yes.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Because Baader Meinhof, they...
Oh, they were hunting people.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I remember that I used to sit like on the stage listening to Dad when he was singing, and sometimes handing out roses to the buff public and for the singers and the ones who played music.
Lives on generation after generation, and what I know is that Kufiya and George Sotari, they actually started the whole Palestinian resistance in the diaspora, specifically in Sweden and Northern Europe, and that's why I'm here, to have a taste of a part of history that would keep going on and on.
work with Kofia, and we have a sound of our own. And we were not really traditional Arabic, we were not Western, we were something in between. So you have to find your way by listening to other Arabic orchestras and musicians and so on. And I improvised. We were working together, and we found the form together. We had some experienced musicians with us, like Mats and others, and so I think we made our own sound.
George, of course, is the sort of thread that has kept this together through all the years, and his songs.
عالجنا حطي غير وصلت بأمان.
We are split with the Palestinian people very, very much, and we see how the Israeli soldiers kill our children, and no one react. Not even the Swedish television, they mention these happenings. In the Arab world, we see nothing. In Riyadh, in Cairo, and so on, they don't speak about the Palestinian children and the killings of these children.
When there is such a, for example, a concert or a manifestation for Palestine, it's quite natural for me to take part in it. And I think it's very important, especially nowadays, because many people are very quiet nowadays about all these different kinds of struggles that people have around the world. More interested in their own lives. You know, it's a very individualized society.
Yes, we used to sing in church, and we used to sing Egyptian songs and Arabic folklore songs when I was small. And we did have parties with friends and with the wedding parties too and so on. So the education was more in the street. The music is very different, and I want to teach the Swedish people about our struggle. I don't want to teach people how to dance. I didn't make these songs, or to make money. My songs was to read the newspaper and to make a song out of an article if I'm interested of it, and to sing it.
The Long Live Palestine song, it's called Demonstrationssången in Swedish. Yeah. It means a song of demonstration, yeah. Demonstration song.
Live Palestina och grossa sionismen. Live, live, live Palestina. Live, live, live Palestina. Live Palestina och grossa sionismen. Live Palestina och grossa sionismen.
Och vi har odlat jorden.
Och vi har odlat jorden.
Och vi har skördat vetet.
Och vi har skördat vetet. Vi har plockat citronerna
Och pressat oliverna
Mot våra fiender
Och hela världen känner till vår kamp
Leve, leve, leve Palestina Leve, leve, leve Palestina Leve Palestina och grossa
Con este tema hacemos un tránsito hacia esta segunda parte de estos archivos sonoros compartidos por el Learning Palestine Group y producidos en colaboración con Radio Alara. Hemos escuchado en este orden la introducción del Learning Palestine Group, Until Liberation 2. Luego una canción, Me, My Mother. Después le ha seguido un poema que se titula Gaza Suite, de Suhir Hamad. Y hemos escuchado en gran parte la film soundtrack, o sea, el sonido de un documental sobre una banda palestina sueca que se llama Kufia. Y el film se titula Kufia Revolution Through Music, una revolución a través de la música. Y parece ser que el líder o el cantante de este grupo, George Tutari, abandonó Palestina, huyó durante la guerra de 1967 contra Israel y fundó esta banda en Suecia, dedicando toda la producción musical de este grupo a la liberación del pueblo palestino. Digamos, también llevando por el mundo todo el sentido de la lucha de este pueblo. Ahora vamos a entrar en la segunda y última parte de estos ejemplos sonoros que podéis visitar luego desde el podcast en todas las publicaciones que ha hecho este Learning Palestine Group. Y vamos a escuchar a Angela Davis en una entrevista en la que habla de Black Liberation and Palestinian Solidarity, recogida en Democracy Now en el 2020. Espero que, a ver, que entre ahora. No, no entra ahora, entra... Ahora. A ver. Vamos a pasar esta música y a ver si podemos entrar aquí.
Is finally going to issue the Fred L. Shuttlesworth Award during a virtual event on Juneteenth. And I wanted to ask you about this because you returned to your hometown of Birmingham, Alabama, last February after the Institute had at first rescinded the award due to your support for BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, and your support of Palestinians. After outcry, the Institute reversed its decision.
A lot has happened over the last period, including within the context of the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. They have completely reorganized. They have reorganized their board. They have been involved in conversations with the community. Of course, as you know, the mayor of Birmingham was threatening to withdraw funding from the Institute. There was a generalized uprising in the Black community. And, you know, while at first it was a total shock to me that they offered this award to me and then they rescinded it, I'm realizing now that that was an important moment because it encouraged people to think about the meaning of human rights. And why is it that Palestinians could be excluded from the process of working toward human rights? Now, Palestinian activists have long supported Black people's struggle against racism. When I was in jail, solidarity coming from Palestine was a major source of courage for me. In Ferguson, Palestinians were the first to express international solidarity. There has been this very important connection between the two struggles for many decades, so that I'm going to be really happy to receive the award, which now represents a rethinking of the rather backward position that the Institute assumed that Palestinians could be excluded from the circle of those working toward a future of justice, equality, and human rights.
Speaking about what's going on in the West Bank right now and about the whole issue of international solidarity, the global response to the killing of George Floyd, in the occupied West Bank, protesters denounced Floyd's murder and the recent killing of Iyad El-Halak, a 32-year-old Palestinian special needs student who was shot to death by Israeli forces in occupied East Jerusalem. He was reportedly chanting Black Lives Matter and Palestinian Lives Matter when Israeli police gunned him down, claiming he was armed. These links that you're seeing, not only in Palestine and the United States, but around the world, the kind of global response, the tens of thousands of people who marched in Spain, who marched in England, in Berlin, in Munich, all over the world, as this touches a chord and they make demands in their own countries, not only in solidarity with what's happening in the United States. And then I want to ask you about the U.S. election that's coming up in November.
Well, yes, Palestinian activists have long supported Black people's struggle against racism, as I pointed out. I'm hoping that today's young activists recognize how important Palestinian solidarity has been to the Black cause, and that they recognize that we have a profound responsibility to support Palestinian struggles as well. I think it's also important for us to look in the direction of Brazil, whose current political leader competes with our current political leader in many dangerous ways, I would say. Brazil, if we think we have a problem with racist police violence in the United States of America, look at Brazil. Marielle Franco was assassinated because she was challenging the militarization of the police and the racist violence unleashed there. I think 4,000 people were killed last year alone by the police in Brazil.
Bien, esta era Angela Davis hablando de la solidaridad hacia el pueblo palestino, de la solidaridad que recibió del pueblo palestino, de los derechos humanos en Palestina, de George Floyd, racismo aquí, allá, en Brasil, whatever. Bien, vamos a ir cerrando esta escucha de estos audios con una intervención de Edouard Said. Edouard Said hablando, se trata de un vídeo, escuchamos un vídeo de Edouard Said hablando de Frantz Fanon, de un documental de la BBC titulado The Idea of Empire, la idea de imperio. Voy a ir corriendo hacia adelante. Así para que escuches las búsquedas hacia adelante.
Sa fibre nationaliste émerge comme une évidence dès son jeune âge. À sa plume.
Imaginaire. Le personnage s'appelle Nahla, il est né en 1982 et il fait ressurgir aussi ce personnage comme une espèce d'étincelle. Donc voilà, c'était un petit, c'est des petites pistes.
has not yet been a single Frenchman indicted before a French court of justice for the murder of an Algerian. In Indochina, in Madagascar, or in the other colonies, the native has always known that he need expect nothing from the other side. The settler's work is to make even dreams of liberty impossible for the native. The native's work is to imagine all possible methods for destroying the settler. Those are words written by Frantz Fanon, who was born in the French colonial possession of Martinique in 1925. He was educated as a doctor, he became a psychiatrist, and in the 1950s, he went to Algeria and joined the FLN, which is the main resistance group fighting the French, and he died in 1961 of leukemia. Fanon became the most eloquent and famous spokesman for the Algerian Revolution, but he also spoke for natives everywhere. He spoke for the natives of Africa, of the Caribbean, and of all of Asia in their struggle against the white imperialists.
When Fanon was working as a psychiatrist in a French hospital, he started treating victims of French torture. He also started treating the torturers. And there is that appendix in Wretched of the Earth, which sort of half tells that story. Hearing the stories, examining the psyche of the torturer and the tortured, transformed him as an individual. I have no idea, and I asked Fanon twice, did you do any good to your patients? He said, je ne sais pas. I have no idea. I don't know. I said, then what happened? He said, ça me transforme. It transformed me. Because what he discovered in that relationship were three or four things. One was how injurious relationship of domination is, both to the dominator and to the dominated, to the victim and the victimizer. The second thing he understood, and powerfully, was that race. He hadn't come to the full realization of sex about it, although he shows signs of seeing it in La Nesakim de la Révolution Algérienne. But he understood that race plays a very important role in separating people artificially. And thirdly, he realized, he learned this from the Algerian victims, that when the victim stands on his feet and fights back, he's not a victim anymore.
Nasser was a tragic figure. He symbolized, on the one hand, the pride and inspiration of anti-imperial nationalism, and on the other, as Fanon so presciently saw in The Wretched of the Earth, the many abuses and mistakes that nationalism gave rise to after its successful and often violent struggle against the empire.
Fanon's real strength lies not in his depiction of violence or resistance, for that matter. It lies in his understanding of nationalism and the pitfalls of national consciousness. And the chapter that he has written on what is wrong with national consciousness and what kind of a state this kind of national consciousness produces says a lot about what we have become in Algeria.
And elsewhere. You know, those essays that you wrote for Arab Studies Quarterly, a magazine which I once used to edit.
But you found it.
Found it. On the pathology of power. Is, I think, quite unique, really, although I would have wished you to have developed them more. But this phenomenon, which really now, again, in a certain sense, justifies the internationalism of Fanon, because it's everywhere. It's not just Algeria. I mean, you have Algeria, you have the various Arab states with their various, as you describe them, Praetorian or fascist or whatever, structures and so on. The absence of criticism from within, the way in which the state or political society absorbs civil society,
the way in which in the Arab countries there is no press to speak of. I mean, the press is essentially a reflection of the ruler's comings and goings and his alliances and enmities of the day. This panorama all across the Third World in the countries which fought for independence suggests therefore the extent.
Bien, pues hasta aquí hemos llegado en esta hora de Core Animal. Hemos estado escuchando Learning Palestine Until Liberation 2 del grupo Learning Palestine Group. En breves minutos las calles de Barcelona, así como las de otras 85 ciudades, se llenarán de nuestros gritos y de solidaridad con Palestina en unos momentos bastante angustiosos en los que el genocidio de este pueblo no cesa. Boycott Israel, Free Palestine, Anti-Liberation, From the River to the Sea, Palestina will be free. So, boycott Israel, Palestina libre, del río al mar, Palestina vencerá, Palestina será libre. Stop genocidio, paremos el genocidio. Y bueno, nos escuchamos en nada, en 15 días. Que sigáis bien. Chao.
Oppressat du liberna.